Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Good morning and welcome to episode 20. If you have just joined us, I am Robin at @itshardwitch on Instagram, and I'm with the beautiful Maria at Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
You think I'm welcome. Beautiful? That's so sweet.
Welcome to our
good
podcast.
Morning, everybody. Robin's gonna spend the entire episode stroking my ego.
It's true. I am. I showed up late today, and so I'm just gonna kiss her ass. So welcome to the podcast. If you've just joined us this week, every single week we kind of do like a lunar check-in. we just explore the energies of the upcoming lunar phase and how that affects us. So for where we're at currently, our upcoming lunar phase is the full moon in Gemini, which is going to be on November 30th. And the full moon in Gemini is a bit of a, what I want to call is a red flag moon. The reason for that is because the moon in Gemini basically brings about this energy of a need for change and spontaneity. And we're in a pandemic during holiday season. So spontaneity is all well and good as long as we're being safe.
Yes.
Yeah, and this particular moon brings up safety lies and talks about exploring the spontaneity and opening up about our feelings and sharing them with others. And so that is the kind of spontaneity we're looking at. We're looking at you talking with those around you and being honest with them about how you feel. This could be romantic. This could be platonic. This could be telling your great aunt, who is a insane person, to shut the fuck up about Trump losing because he lost, and to just zip it up. That's the kind of spontaneity we're looking at. So yes, we want to have this kind of whirlwind, being real and just going with what feels right. But that doesn't mean being like, oh, I'm just going to get in the car and I'm going to go see all my friends. That's, don't do that.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, please don't do that.
And it's also an eclipse, right? Like full moon
eclipse. It is. Yeah, it's a lunar eclipse, which means that for spell work, this full moon is like having two full moons in one night, which is crazy.
Yay. I love full moon eclipses. Like, I feel like
me too.
You can do so much spell work. Like, you can
you
do
can
stuff
do
to let
so
it go.
Much stuff.
Yeah, like it's
think
like
of all the activities.
Black moon, new moon, full moon. It's so nice. Yeah. It's so good.
It's lunar eclipses are great like that because they're so diverse and they're so strong and powerful. So maybe channel that spontaneity into doing some spell work that you've been sitting on for a while that you've been like, oh, maybe I don't need to, maybe I shouldn't. This is your sign. Go do it. As long as you're being safe.
Yeah. And I mean, like, and if you're like, well, I don't really want to do the whole spell work, like sitting on my altar type thing. Kitchen witchery. Like we talked about last episode. Just cook a meal with intention.
Yeah.
Don't make it harder
or,
than
you
it
know,
needs to be.
Get crazy. Go put on your best, thickest parka. Go outside and do something really elaborate, you know? You maybe don't get naked because it's quite cold in a lot of places. I know where I am, it's freezing. Literally.
Oh,
it was like
on.
12 degrees last night.
put on but, a I wool mean,
maybe that's what you're in.
And get your titties out in the cold.
Get your titties out in the cold. That is your business. But again, do it safely. Please don't get frostbite.
So, if you just started listening to us, every podcast we talk about a random tarot card. We go over the universal meaning and then our own interpretations of the cards. Hearing other people's opinions helps beginners form their own opinions, or even those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. So, this week we're talking about the Six of Swords. So, on this card, you see a woman and a young child, like under cloaks, with a man pedaling the boat. And he's like situated behind them. And in the middle of the boat is six swords. The universal meaning of this card is about going through a sometimes painful or sad transition. It can also indicate travel. When this pops up in readings for myself, it's almost always a guide reaching out, kindly asking us to do shadow work before we head somewhere new in our lives. I view the sword suit as taking charge of our lives and our mental health. And this particular sword card is about making the decision to use bad situations from our past to our benefit in the future, or they have the chance of becoming baggage moving forward. So basically, we need to take back our own narratives. These swords depicted on the card can either be used as a weapon or tool when the figures on this card get to their destination, or they can potentially sink the boat. So this card shows that, you know, choosing to use past situations not to our advantage can make things actually act as an anchor, keeping us firmly rooted in the past and past situations. Ultimately, you know, it's up to us to decide, but if you ever need help with transitions, you should always reach out, you know, to a therapist or a helping hand. This card definitely says you do not have to move forward alone, especially if it's a painful transition. So, Robin, dear, how do you view this card?
Well, the Six of Swords for me is always an indicator for like a catalyst of change. The problem is I often see this card, not necessarily for myself, but in like client readings, when people are trying to run away from their problems. So yes, it is this sort of moving forward and this sort of, you know, moving away from something. But sometimes the thing that we are running away from is impossible to actually get away from, because if you don't fix what's going on within, you know what I mean? It'll just keep cropping up. And so when I see the Six of Swords in a reading, oftentimes it is paired with other cards that basically indicate that this person is trying to run away from their problems. And that in and of itself is never healthy. it's like a Band-Aid, you know what I mean? And the Six of Swords always comes up as you might be walking away from something or moving on to something, but the bridge isn't burned, the door isn't closed. You can always come back to it, which I feel like is why I often see it as this running away from our problems, because we aren't actually moving away from it permanently. Do you know what I mean? We will find ourselves back at it again. And it just to me tells us that moving on is a very good thing, but make sure, like you said, make sure that basically you are doing it in a way that is healthy and doing it in a way that you are addressing the issue as a whole before moving forward, or you're gonna find yourself or you're gonna find yourself in the same problem again.
In the same boat, right?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Headed in the opposite direction.
I had to sneak a dad joke in there. We're good. But no, I really like your interpretation.
It's super important that we just have to address the core of the problem before deciding to move on.
Yes. Otherwise, completely agree. Do that shadow
work.
You're
just wasting your own time. Yeah. Waste your own time.
Don't do that.
So before we get started in talking about what we're going to talk about this week, we want to say a huge thank you. We are at 50,000 streams, which I feel like we just celebrated 10,000. So
that is
incredible. We're so grateful. That being said, we wanted to do what we did for the 10,000 streams again. But we're going to do it a little bit differently this time. So if you listen to our podcast and you're enjoying it, if you go to Apple,
only if you're enjoying it,
only just if you're enjoying it.
If you go to Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, whatever it is, and you leave us a 5-star review, and in the review you ask a question, we are going to start season 2 answering those questions. So we've got our Yule episode, which is next, and then we're going to take Christmas off, and starting the new year, we're starting season 2. And with the start of season 2, you guys can leave us questions and we'll start that the new season with answering them. We thought that would
be fun. That's so good. Yeah,
and I think it gives people a little bit more time this time around to leave them, because we got a bunch of questions last time after the fact and we felt bad we didn't and couldn't answer them. So this time, hopefully, we've got more time.
We'll be different.
Yeah, this time will be different. And it'll be the start of the new season. And I think that will be really fun. So, yay.
I'm so glad we were renewed.
We are really, really grateful, though, guys. Like, neither one of us can express that enough. It's just incredible that you guys allow us to even have this platform. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening to us, for putting up with us.
Listening to us, like, dad joke at each other all day, every day.
Everyone loves a good dad joke. Anyone who denies that is lying.
So, Maria, what are we talking about today, girl?
So, this week, we're going to talk about some of our beginner tarot tips to help, you know, some of you witches also get addicted to the wonderful world of tarot. So, I think first and foremost, when choosing a deck, while yes, you should definitely choose one that you are drawn to, I do also recommend sticking to the Rider-Waite-Smith imagery. This is because, you know, so many books are, and even online resources, are about the symbolism in that particular deck. There are so many amazing variations of the Rider-Waite-Smith, including, you know, modern interpretations. So finding one that you at least find partly interesting shouldn't be too hard.
Right. I agree entirely. And I think that they're always good to start with because it gives you that foundation for why cards have the meanings that they have. Mm-hmm. So, for example, each card is so chock full of symbolism that once you understand that, once you can visualize it in your head, you can get any deck you want, because all you have to do is close your 100%. Eyes and think about what the Rider-Waite-Smith deck looks like, and boom, you've got it.
Yeah. And then also, you know, you're learning to look for the symbolism. So when you get a deck that doesn't have that same symbolism, you know to look for different types of symbolism that it's there, you know, and you're connecting through it through personal interpretation.
Massively. And, you know, I know that I've plugged my book before, but like my whole book is about how important the symbolism is in tarot, because we can reapply that to other things. So not only is it important for divination purposes and tarot purposes, but we can take the knowledge of why cards hold the symbolism that they hold, why they hold the meaning that they hold, and reapply that as a tool for magic. Like, it's so layered. It doesn't have to be one thing or the other. And I think it's important everyone starts with a Rider-Waite-Smith, even if you don't totally click with it for learning purposes alone. It's good to have.
I completely agree, 100%. And, like, I know I say this in the first part of the pod, but I truly mean it when I say that we should listen to many people's interpretations to help find your own interpretation. Finding, you know, a personal interpretation that deeply resonates can be a game changer for a new reader. Like, suddenly everything will start clicking. You know, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't find our own meanings by, you know, just doing our personal, putting our personal feelings onto the cards.
You get the baseline understanding, but, and you grow from there.
Exactly. You know, just remain open to new points of view, because, you know, even my own personal interpretations of the cards is constantly changing, constantly evolving through, you know, time. And, you know, I just think it's very important to remain open.
I agree entirely. And I know I've said this before on, like, my Instagram a lot. So people who follow me on Instagram who are listening to this are probably like, okay, Robin, shut up. We get it. But I am a firm believer in journaling. I personally am somebody who learns things significantly better when I write it down. And so I'm a huge believer in, if you journal your cards, you're going to learn them twice as fast. So let's say you're doing a card a day just for, like, yourself and for learning purposes, et cetera. If you're pulling a card a day and you're writing it down, you're more likely to remember next time what that card means because you took the time to put it to paper.
Yes, I completely agree.
It doesn't need to be, like, beautiful.
No, it doesn't. And if you want it to be that way, just have a digital book of shadows. Yes, yeah. Do it. But, you know, there's so many amazing books, podcasts, and online resources for, like, tarot. You know, I truly recommend taking advantage of every single one. Don't just look up one meaning in one place online. Do multiple, so you have multiple resources for a single card, so you find out what resonates with you. And also, like, on, you touched on, you know, writing them down. I also, like, I do recommend, like, if you're close to someone who, you know, you won't receive any judgment from, like, doing readings for them, because that takes the reading for yourself can sometimes be harder than reading for other people. So when you're reading for other people, you know, they can tell you, oh, well, that doesn't sound right. And then you're like, okay, let's, you know, refresh. But you can also do this by, I mentioned on a previous podcast, by doing recent events. Like, let's say something big is happening in the news, start pulling cards for it, and then, you know, follow it and see where the cards have led you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I also, for, like, divination purposes, when you are developing your intuition, so back to writing stuff down, you can say, I don't know, let's say you pulled the Six of Swords, like we talked about, right? And you're like, okay, this is my card for today. You write down what you think that you're listening to your intuition. All right, what do I think that could mean for today? How could this apply, right? And then in the evening or the next day when you go to pull your next card, do a follow-up entry. So this is how my day ended up going. How did that apply to the card that I pulled? And how does that look in retrospect to what my intuitive meaning was this morning? And this is a great way that we can start beginning to develop our intuition further, because we're listening just to the inside, you know, and then we are doing a follow-up on that. So what did that actually end up looking like? How accurate were we, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree.
It's simple, Simon.
Because that's always happens. Like, when you pull a card, you're like, it's not going to apply today. And it's, like, the worst card ever. And, like,
it does.
The Tower reversed. And then it happens, you're like, oh, well, shit.
Oopsie diddle. Turns out I was a dumb motherfucker. But another super simple tip that I would suggest is learning basic numerology and learning the general energies for each suit. So this is more applicable to the minors than it is for the majors, although numerology still plays a major role in the majors. It just becomes an easy way to remember the minors because there are so many of them. What does numerologically the number four mean? And then you apply that plus the general energy of wands together. What does that mean? Right. And it's a good way to like have a basic understanding quickly and remember.
Yeah, it really does. Like, so fours to me are about basically like building up, like, you know, like the four, especially wands, like building up the bones of the house, creating a structure, solid structure on top of a solid foundation. Yeah, stability. And and then the wands for me are about passions, life paths, growth, and confidence.
Yeah. And so you put that together and you're looking at major life events, things that we build structure and stability on, right? You're looking at marriages, babies, weddings. Marriage and wedding are the same thing, but you know what I meant. And so this is how we do basic, you know, quick remembering. Obviously that's not going to be perfect for an in-depth, you know, deep dive reading. But when you're learning, it's a great way to start remembering stuff. It becomes easy.
Yeah, 100%. I completely agree. Another tip is, you know, start with small spreads. And have a question for each card, especially if you are a new reader. Don't just pull all willy-nilly. You know, it took me a lot of time to get comfortable with my cards to, like, do spreads that have no form whatsoever. Yeah, and it, like, for a new reader, it can be so confusing and overwhelming because you're like, what does this mean? How is it connected? I don't know, because you didn't ask the questions. And, you know, with questions, be specific. Just like you would when you're writing out your intentions. Don't just leave it to guesswork. The more like room you leave for interpretation, that means the more confusion you're going to get.
I agree 100%. I personally, for myself, am not a believer of tarot spreads. Not that I don't believe in them. It's just that I like pulling willy-nilly. I like seeing what the cards have to tell me. However, as Maria said, I got that way after years of practice. so don't expect, you know, to be able to do that. You got to learn to crawl before you run, right? So get specific. Have simple spreads that you have questions for, like she said. Why overcomplicate it for yourself? You're just going to get overwhelmed and then you're going to get burnt out and then you're going to quit. And it doesn't need to be that way.
No, it really doesn't. Like, like, especially even for like a single question. Like if you're still like stuck and you don't know what it means, pull an extra single card with the intention for that question, you know, like, but don't just like throw down a bunch of cards and be like, I have no idea what this means.
Right. Right. I completely agree.
I also do recommend that even if you are an on-the-go tarot reader, to have like a simple ritual and an emphasis on simple, you know, that you can do well to help you get in the mindset of a reading. You know, I personally each time knock on my deck 3 times and shuffle, and I smoke cleanse my deck if I'm home. If mm-hmm. not, you know, that's fine. I knocked on my deck. That is part of my cleansing ritual, you know, and holding my deck in my hands and, mm-hmm. you know, pulling my energy and awareness in my hands and into the deck. And I ask my guide to lend me a hand if they are able and to envision the spread while I, you know, shuffle the cards and lay them out.
Right.
That's just my thing that I do each time that, like, my body knows what to do as soon as,
it's
like,
simple,
I'm about to sit
it's
down.
It's not over the top and is effective and is a part of your pulling. And everyone should have their own version of something like that, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean yes. that you need to do it the way Maria does it or the way I do it, but you need
yeah,
to have 100%. Your own, you know, sort of ritual for pulling cards. So... journal.
So what
Keep
do
it simple.
You do if you like, let's say that you're shuffling and cards just fly everywhere. What do you do?
What do I do? I pass away yeah. on the spot. I pass away. Good night. Goodbye.
Honestly, let's say, you know, it's not even like a card jumping out. Let's just say you're shuffling and you like, you know, butterfingers, you like everything spills out. For me, I actually view that as part of the shuffling process that
yeah,
like my guides are like, nope.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I'm just like, I just pick them up and keep going. It doesn't mean I need to redo the entire reading.
There are a lot of readers out there that will be like, oh, I only use cards that jump out of the deck. And although mm-hmm. I think that's all well and good, I use mm-hmm. the shit out of my cards. And so, for example, my work deck, I use so much that they don't shuffle like that anymore. They don't fall out. And so if I waited for a card to fall out, we would be here all day. And so I know a lot of people say, oh, you have to do it that way. And that's bullshit. You don't have to do it that way. You can include it,
you
like Maria just said, as part of it, as a shuffling process. Like, everyone mm-hmm. has their own way of doing it. And don't buy into the bullshit that, you know, oh, your first deck must be gifted to you
yeah.
from a 17th generation tarot
well,
reader.
Well, it's a whole thing, you know, that... spells and stuff have to be perfect. No, you are a messy human being. Embrace
yes.
it.
Embrace it.
Embrace it. We're all messes.
I know
when it comes
I'm
to
perfect.
Reading and our magic.
I'm the fucking supreme.
Oh,
have
yeah, I forgot supreme. Hey, this pod was supposed to be about you stroking my ego.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh, Maria. You're so beautiful and amazing. Wow.
Oh, thanks.
Wow.
So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron this week? You made
I'm
me break character.
I'm never going to get over the phone sex operator intro. So, anyway, sorry. Sorry, listeners.
You just can't handle my sensuality.
I can't handle it. I just, moist. What is stirring my cauldron? Oh, I am obsessed with, if those of you follow me on Twitter or on Instagram, you might have seen my friends, myself, etc., talking about the McCormick Coven tradition. And I'm obsessed with it, not because of the hilarity of the inside joke, but because the inside joke has become this external, like... something, you know what I mean? Like
movement.
it's
a movement.
And it's amping people up to utilize what they have, which is just budget-friendly witch tips, and I fucking love that. Especially when we have this whole, I don't know, this small section of our community that is just constantly like, well, you're not doing it right. Well, actually, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, you know, basil is basil. Whether you get it from a Botanica or you get it from the fucking dollar store, it's still basil. And I love that people are not only enjoying it, but it is just amplifying budget-friendly witchcraft, which is so important.
Like, it's like that is true witchcraft. Witchcraft is like using what you have. Like, yes, pretty stuff is just extra, but like, you know, even back in the day, it was utilizing what you have. Not
right. You think that our ancestors had botanicas to go to? Like, no. They utilized the land and what they had available. And the McCormick Coven joke is literally just doing that. And I love it. I think it's so great. And I think it's amazing that we see our community kind of coming together for a common good. The good being making witchcraft accessible. And I think not only is it fun and lighthearted,
and but funny.
It's so also funny. Really empowering and funny.
It is. So funny.
But it's also really empowering. And I think it's great. Like, Temp really did that. She started something. And I think it's great. I love it.
I love it too. It's so much fun. I love when our community comes together in that way to like celebrate something that's like super fun and like also has a good message. And it's just like,
and
you know, usually our community gets so negative about really like, you know, sometimes things. It's stupid things, or it's like, well, that's valid. But this time it's like something positive and funny, and we'll create like it's hopefully great. Some
I love
it. Change.
I think it's great. I think it's brilliant. I love that people are coming together and supporting each other in this and celebrating the fact that not everybody has a lot of money, and that's okay. And I love even more that the whole fucking joke started because one asshole was trying to gatekeep, and the script got flipped on them, and I think that's fantastic. So
that is
yay. That's what I'm loving this week.
I love it. And I am so sorry if anyone like is listening and can hear my dog whining in the background. She's fine. She's with my wife. She just
she's
wants
not fine.
Me.
She's not fine. Blink twice. Blink twice if you need us.
If she came and hang out with me, she'd be barking at shadows right now. So we're not gonna do that.
So, Maria, what's Nod stirring her cauldron this week?
Oh, let me tell you. So, what is not stirring is something that continues to be such a big problem in our community, which is calling other witches not true witches due to a variety of reasons. And we did talk about a little bit about this in the previous, you know, stirring thing. But, you know, the biggest ones is not being aesthetic or being aesthetic, like both sides of the boat here, both people fighting and like being, you know, how dare you? But, you know, either way. Yeah. Both sides telling other witches this is just straight up awful. The only thing that you need to be a badass witch is yourself. If you want to surround yourself with beautiful witchy items, you are totally within your right to do so. And guess what? You're still a badass witch as long as you practice. If you are just using quartz and grocery bought herbs and all of your spells because that's all you can afford, you are still a badass witch because you practice. Witches come from so many backgrounds and money levels. And we know that, you know, we've talked about this in former, like previous episodes, but, you know, someone calling someone less of a witch based off of your personal preconceived notions of witchcraft just makes you look like a big giant poop head. You know, witchcraft is an open practice. As long as you are being respectful of closed practices, you're fine. If a celebrity, let's say a celebrity decided to be a witch and she or they practice, guess what? They are a witch. Even though they're a celebrity, they are still a witch. And if someone is like homeless and has no valuables and decides to be a witch,
and they practice, they are a witch.
You know, you may not agree with that. Most people that do stuff like this, that do the whole mm-hmm. like you are, you aren't, are people that are really insecure in their own practice, and they deflect that insecurity out to others.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they aren't a witch because of that. I'm saying they're really insecure, and that's sad for them, but should not be our mm-hmm. problem.
And, you know, you're not going, as we've said so many times, you're not going to agree with how other witches practice. You're just not. But, you know, that's not your place to say anything. Mm-hmm. As long as they're practicing and they're happy and they're receiving all the benefits that they need from their practice, like, that's none of your business. Mm-hmm. Even if they are sharing it, like, via social media, like, it's not your place to be like, hey, you're not doing that right. Unless they're being, like, disrespectful.
You're being a fucking Karen. If you say that to people, you're being a spiritual Karen, and you should fuck off.
100%. It's just, and it's so, like, you know, new witches get so disheartened, and it makes me really sad. I mean, it's already, you know, after October, so, you know, the witch community is very quiet right now because so many, like, newer witches have left, and I feel like a bunch of them left for that reason, is that they either feel like, I don't know, that they're not enough, that they don't do enough, and other people have made them feel so, or they're not doing things right.
Yeah, I agree.
But yes, so yeah, Mama Maria is once again begging you all to be tolerant. I feel like that's the majority of my not occurring.
Please be tolerant. I am respect here other again witches. Asking you to please be tolerant.
Of everyone, like as long as they're not being disrespectful and hurting people, just be nice. It's not that hard. Like, I understand, like, a lot of people are, like, angry. They're just naturally angry people. But, right. You know, you don't have to go and, like, ruin someone else's day by your anger. Don't do that.
Get a therapist.
Yes.
Yay! If you are new here with us this week, every week we talk about shops, creators, and just accounts and stuff like that that we are loving right now. These are found organically via us. If you send us messages asking to be on the podcast, you will get blocked. Don't do that. It's rude, and it's dumb that we're on our 20th episode and I'm still having to say that. I hate that for us, but
yes,
we've got some really cool shops that we found. Well, stuff that we found, people we found, creators. Up first, Maria, who are you loving this week, girl?
So on Instagram, I am loving Wiccan Cuisines. Like, they make such beautiful freaking food, and a lot of it's bread, which bread is delicious, even though I can't have it. But she also, like, does, like, videos. I'm sorry, I don't know what pronouns I go by, but they, like, their reel shows them making it and all that. And it's just like, oh my God, each time I'm like, even if I just ate, I'm hungry, and it's beautifully done. Like, it's like what you expect on, like, the Great British Baking Show. Like, it's just like some for really amazing pieces. Yeah, but for witches, you know, they do things with intention and, you know, for spell work and stuff like that. And it's just, oh, it's so beautiful and looks so delicious. Like,
all the recipes seem please. Really easy too. Like, they yeah, seem doable. Like,
simple, beautiful recipes.
I love it.
So, what creator are you loving?
I am. Well, I've been loving her for a while. It's Alicia Brujita.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. And she is a witch, but she's also an illustrator, and she historically does different, like, stuff that she sells. So she was doing a Patreon for a while, which I think is over. But she sells prints and she's done shirts and stuff like that. But she has this mug. She's been teasing a new line of stuff that she's coming out with.
I didn't know.
And I want it so bad. It's her new logo and it says Brujitas Club on it. And I'm just like, yeah, yes, send me that. I want, take my money. I know that we all know at this point that I am a slut for a mug.
Yes, but, same.
She's just incredibly talented. She does different portraits of people and she's just really talented. And I don't know. I think everybody should be following her.
Comics too about witchcraft. Like, yeah. Hilarious.
I love it. And she's also like very to the point on how she feels, about stuff, no fucking around. And I respect that. Like, there's not, it takes a lot of balls to be a creator online and be like, this is how I feel. And if you don't like it, fuck off. And she does that. So I love that.
It really
for her.
Does take a lot of courage.
It takes a lot of balls, man. Cause I mean, people will cancel you over the dumbest shit. So I love that. I think she's amazing. I think that you should think she's amazing.
Oh, but I do.
So yeah, there you go. There you have it. That's who I'm loving this week.
Yes.
We hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode, and we hope to see you on December 11th for our 21st episode, which will have our Sabbats. Yes. And this guest is going to be Temperance Alden. So keep an eye out on our Instagrams and on our Twitter. You can follow us there, Coffee Cauldrons, for more information.
Or even better, joining us on our Discord tier, Witches First Coven, on Patreon so we can answer your questions in part 2 next time.
You'll even get to hear our sensual voices for an additional 30-minute episode for being in our Patreon tier casting enough. Don't laugh.
They're going to think that we're going to do sex. Yeah, phone
it's actually
sex,
just
operator
sex,
voices
it's just sex talk. That's all it is.
So, again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram.
And Maria from Maria the Arcane on Instagram. Okay, you ready?
All right, you ready?
Let's do
one.
It. Let's do it. One.
One, two, three.
Three.
Bye, witches!
Bye, witches!
It's awful.
It's the lag. It's the lag.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.